Well, have you ever felt like you prayed, but it didn't go through? Yeah, I think all of us Christians have been there a time or two. But the truth is, God always answers prayer. The problem is, sometimes he doesn't answer the way I think he ought to. And then I sort of feel like he didn't answer prayer, you know? Because when he says no, that troubles me a little because I've got my mind made up. You know, and God ought to understand me. And he ought to know what I want. And he ought to know that I know what's best for me. But he doesn't always answer that way. Thank God he doesn't, because he's saved me a lot of trouble. But then when the Lord answers, wait, wow, that really troubles me. Because I have a personality that's somewhat like some of you. We like things done and done right now, you know. I like for things, I like to know things before they happen. I like to know the answer before I really need to. But sometimes the Lord says, you know, you just ought to wait about that. That's confusing to me. But it's best. And then sometimes the Lord says yes. And it's at that point where we all thank God he answered prayer. Well, the rest of the time he does too. It's just not always exactly like we desired it. But he always answers prayer. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn in your New Testaments to Mark chapter 5, and I'll get there in a moment. Mark chapter 5. But first of all, I want to call your attention to a short passage of Scripture in Matthew 9, verse 21, where it says these words, "If I may but touch his garment." And then over in Luke chapter 8 and verse 46, these words, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Now back to Mark chapter 5, down at verse 34. Mark 5, 34, these words, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now out of Matthew 9, where the lady said, "If I may but touch his garment," I want to use that as the first subpoint of my outline tonight, the desire to touch him. She really wanted to get to Jesus. And that's what we need tonight, really wanting to get to Jesus. And then out of Luke 8, where Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive virtue is going out of me." The second point of my outline tonight is the discernment of the touch. He noticed immediately when that lady touched him. And then in Mark chapter 5, where he said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and behold of thy plague." The third point of my outline tonight is the discovery through the touch. All under this heading, touching the hem of his garment. And I'm praying these days that God would help us to understand that Jesus is still touchable. Yeah, he is. We can still reach through to Jesus. The point we have to make, though, is a desire to touch him. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that these three different scriptures that I gave to you relate to the same story about a lady that had a physical problem. And if you'll read all of the lessons, you'll discover the problem had lasted for 12 years. I am again using my imagination somewhat, but please allow me to do that. I believe this lady had a good many friends. Now remember that the scripture says she had gone from one doctor to another, to another, to another, and who knows how many. And I just like to think that, let's just say for an average, 3 different doctors a year. Now that's really not using your imagination, because I have gone to that many and more in 1 week. When you got heart problems and you got neck problems and had surgery on that, and you got diabetes and you got CIDP, you want to hear any more? You know, I got all kinds of situations. You know, doctors say, well, this is what you need to do, and that's the medicine you ought to take, and you ought to stop doing this, and whatever. You know, I go to a lot of doctors, and, you know, I think they're helping me. I hope they are. They're sure taking a lot of money. But this lady, let's just say, she's been to 36 different doctors across 12 years. That's a lot of them. Only to discover that every one of them concluded, I don't know what's wrong with you. They took her money, though. They're good to do that. Yeah. And she got to the point where she spent everything. Now, her friends would come to her and say, I heard you've been to so-and-so doctor, but he didn't help you, did he? No. You want to go to mine? I'll set you up an appointment. You know, and she said, okay, it won't hurt anything. So she said, they set up an appointment, she goes. That doctor says the same thing. I don't know. I can't help you, but money gone again. She did that repeatedly, over and over and over and over, and finally got to the point where she didn't have any money left. She was totally broke. And she wasn't even maintaining the same problem. She was getting worse across 12 years. Now, I just want to tell you, that would be discouraging to me. It would be discouraging to me to be sick over a week. A few days bother me. I don't like to be sick. But I can only imagine how this lady felt after going to that many doctors and not getting any better. But somewhere along the way, she heard of the doctor, the one who is the great physician, the one who has true healing power. And she said, I need to get to Jesus. And so she proceeds to do that. She purposes in her heart, I'm going to get to Jesus whatever it takes. Because she knows her faith says that if she will follow through and get to where Jesus is, though she has not been any better for 12 years and all these doctors, she knows if I can get to where he is, he has the answer for my need. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you may not have a physical problem, you may have a spiritual problem, you may have an emotional problem, but you may have a physical problem. Jesus has the answer because Jesus is the answer. And if we desire to touch him, we can get to where he is. Now, I picture in my imagination that this was a sweet little holiness lady. You may disagree, but hear me out. I can see her eager to get to Jesus, remember? She's purposed in her heart. She's going. She's proceeding by faith to get to where he is. And I can see her make her way through the crowd and say, excuse me. Can I get through? Got to get to Jesus. Excuse me? I got to get to Jesus. Excuse me? And they, one by one, just sort of move out of the way because she's so kind. And she has one purpose in her mind. I got to get to Jesus. You know, I love ladies that have a purpose. I have learned in pastoring that when some ladies have their mind made up, you might just as well say, okay. That's not a negative. Please understand that. There's a few times I wish ladies wouldn't have been quite as strong. But, you know, she had a purpose. I'm going to Jesus. And nobody's going to stop me. So it reminds me of a story I read a number of years ago about a fellow that was running a little ferry business. It was just a little old rowboat across a little stream. Some people lived on the other side. The only way to get over there is go this little ferry. And so one day an older man climbed on board. And as they were rowing across this stream, this passenger noticed that on one oar was carved the word faith. And on the other oar, the word works. And he was a bit curious. And so he asked the guy that was doing the rowing, "What's this mean?" He said, "I'll demonstrate it to you." So he pulled in faith. And he kept rowing with works. Now, you know anything about rowing a boat? If you have one oar on the same side and you keep on rowing with that one oar, you're getting nowhere but around in a circle. Okay? And that's what happened. So he pulled in works and put out faith. Started rowing with that. And they just turned around the other way. And now for the third time, except for the little bit of drift, they were in the same place. He put out both oars and they started rowing across. And the guy that asked the question said, I understand. And the fellow who was doing the rowing was a Christian. And he said, "Sir, that's the way it is in getting across life's troubled sea. It's going to take faith, but it's going to take works as well. One without the other is not enough. But both together, you can reach safely on the other side. And if we purpose in our hearts and by faith proceed to touch Jesus, we can still get to where he is. The problem is so many of us don't desire to touch him." As we travel the country over, of course, it's pastoring now. Church made arrangements for us to take a meeting a month. And I know that's a lot of time to be away from church. But because of finances, they have allowed us to do that. But when we were traveling evangelism, you know, so many places where we went, and I'm not trying to be critical of our people, not in the least, but I have noticed in a general sense, there seems to be such a lack of desire to touch the Master. People have problems of all kinds, and they're trying everything else to answer those needs instead of going to Jesus. There's just not that drive on the inside. We're complacent. We're just sort of settled back. We have our routines. We get up about the same time every morning, have our breakfast, go to work, have lunch, work the afternoon, or be busy throughout the day, eat supper about the same time. We have a little fellowship or reading or whatever in the evening, go to bed about the same time. We come to church Sunday morning. Go to Sunday school, go to morning worship, children's service, evening comes and we're back in church. Wednesday night we're here, revival we're here, but we're caught in routine, just routine, and it's not a bad routine. The only thing is we can be in a routine without ever touching Jesus. And we just live and live and live and live without ever really touching Jesus for our needs and see him answer prayer and solve our problems and meet our needs. There's no desire on so many people's mind these days. We're just satisfied. Just sort of status quo. And I want to tell you, if you have a burden tonight, if you have a problem, you can still touch Jesus if you want to, if you really want to. And I'm praying, oh God, increase our desire. Our desire. She said, "If I may but touch his garment." She wasn't one of these that said, "Okay, Lord, I'm here. Just back off from everybody else. It's me now. Give me your full attention." No, no, no. If you'll read all the scripture, she came from behind in a quiet way without ever getting the Master's attention. She just reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Wow. Her faith was rewarded. Let me tell you. And if you want to touch Jesus, I can tell you as in this story, he will discern your touch. The minute you reach through, he said to her, "Somebody hath touched me." Actually, he said it to the disciples. "Somebody hath touched me." And if you read all the scripture, it says, you know, he sort of asked, who touched me? Whatever, you know. And they said, "Come on, Lord. There's so many people pushing and shoving. Lots of people have touched." No, he said, "Somebody It was somebody particular. It was a personal touch. And he discerned that touch. I ask you tonight, do you have problems? Do you have heavy burdens? Do you have frustrations in your life? Do you have needs that nobody else can meet, and yet you've been struggling along the best you can, and you wonder how it's all going to work out, and you lay awake at night, and you wonder, Lord, you know, anybody have those kind of things besides me? I mean, in pastoring a church, there's a number of people. I lay awake at night and say, oh, God, help them. Help them meet their need. We've got a lady that's such an emotional up and down roller coaster until it's absolutely unbelievable. You think she's up and going and she's doing right and having a great day. Before the day is over, she's back in her tunnel and she's back under it all. And the next day, the same thing over and over and over. It's been like that for months, and you wonder, Lord, are we ever going to see real results? Where she gets on top and stays on top. She texts my wife a dozen times a day. She wants to talk to her more than that. It's just on and on and on. And I'm pointing her to Jesus. Jan's pointing her to Jesus. That's who you need. That's who you need. She's got real problems. And Jesus is the only answer. If she'll give it all to Jesus. We just had a new family come in two Sunday nights ago. Never had seen them before. They walked in. They said, we're looking for a church home. Have a teenage daughter. And we want to get her in a youth group. Church where there's a youth group. You know, the instant she said that, the mother said that, something just sort of rolled on the inside. And I said, well, we're working on it. We don't have many young people at her age. You know, but I said, we're really working on it, and we're glad you're here, and you know, but they got problems. They want that girl to be among young people, and you know, and we had a great service and an altar service, and I slipped out and I told them, I said, so good to have you here. And I announced a revival meeting that's going to start this next Tuesday with Dan Stettler at our church. And they looked at me at the close of the service there at the foyer and said, your church having a revival? Said, we didn't even know there's any churches having a revival anymore. I mean, they're way out there. I mean, jewelry and pants and the whole nine yards. You know, I invited them to come to revival, and you know what? They came back this last Sunday morning and Sunday night. And it's like they're a part of us. They need a lot of help, and I can point them to Jesus. If you desire to touch him, there isn't anybody's burden or needs that Jesus can't help with. And it's so good to have a master who is still reachable, who's still touchable, if you desire to touch him. Had another lady come in just out of the clear blue. I had contacted her by phone, had never seen her. And she started coming on a regular basis. And she leaves every service, tears streaming down her face. And she's saying, oh, I'm so glad I found this church. But she hadn't been a Christian. And two Sunday nights ago, she left the service, tears streaming. And I said, we're so glad, Laura, to have you here. That next service, she came back and she said, you know, Sunday night after service, on the way home, me and the Lord had a wonderful prayer meeting on the way home. And my world is totally different. That's her way of saying, Jesus has met my need. She's been there now for 5 weeks without fail. I'm telling you, Jesus can be reached. He can be touched if we desire to touch him. How many really, really want to touch Jesus? You can. For every need, for every hurt, for every misunderstanding, for every problem. He'll listen. A number of years ago, I was pastoring in Alabama. We had several older ladies. I don't say old anymore because that gets you in trouble. You don't know what old is. I used to think 30 was old. Then I reached it and it isn't old at all. And then 40 I knew was. Well, I reached that too, and that's not old. Then 50, and I reached that too, and that's not old. Now 60, and that's not old. I'm not 70 yet, so don't. It's been a while before I get to 70, but I just don't know what old is anymore. But three older ladies came to us and said, would you mind taking us, their retired school teachers and store managers and that kind of thing, you know? Said, would you mind taking us to the Smoky Mountains for a few days and just enjoy ourselves? We arranged it. We left on a Monday morning. We traveled those 350 miles, got there Monday evening, just, you know, in the afternoon. It was gorgeous, fall of the year, and they were oohing and aahing at everything, the pretty leaves and all that kind of stuff. Little back roads we were taking all around Gatlinburg and all around there. We stayed there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. On Friday morning, we headed home. We weren't going to get home that day. We thought we'd stop in a motel in Chattanooga on the way home and just take it easy and have a wonderful time with these ladies. And they were so gracious and kind. And we stopped in a motel in Chattanooga and spent the night. I told the ladies, I said, now, tomorrow morning, I want to get up in good time. I mean, it's going to be Saturday, and pastor's got to get home. And you know, I want to be home by about noon because I got lots to catch up on and some people I want to visit. Our bus ministry's going and that kind of thing, you know. And I got to make sure my sermons are ready and that kind of thing. So I don't want to be home late on Saturday. Say, okay. We got up early in the morning. I did a very foolish thing. I slipped and fell in the bathtub. And I came down over the side of that tub on my left side and it knocked the wind out of me. And oh, man, instantly it was hurting all over more than anywhere else. And it was terrible. So I couldn't help the ladies load their luggage. Jen had to do that. They wanted me to go to the hospital. I said, oh, I don't want to go to the hospital here. I don't know them. They don't know me. Let's go on home 200 miles. I can handle it. Whoa. Jen had to drive. The further I got, the worse I felt. We finally got home, got them ladies delivered to their homes, and we went on to the emergency room there at home. They did some x-rays, and the nurse came back in and said, preacher, you're going to have to stay in the hospital tonight. Oh, I said, oh, I can't do that. I said, you know, I pastor the Bible Methodist Church here in town. Tomorrow's Sunday. I got to be there. She said, just a minute. And so in a little while, here comes the doctor in. I didn't like his looks. You know? He just walks right straight up to me at my bed and says, Reverend Miller, you are staying in the hospital tonight. When they talk like that, I understand. So against my will, I had to stay. They said, it looks like you've got three broken ribs, punctured lung, and a ruptured spleen. I knew I was sick. I stayed the night. Jen went on home. I have a great wife. She just fills in for me whatever I need. Just wonderful. She's a good preacher. She doesn't have any license, but she has experience. She preaches to me all the time. You know? Her and the Lord worked on me for 40-some years. I got a long ways to go, but it's coming, you know. So she took the service that morning. Some of my people came up after Sunday lunch. They said, you know, it won't be too long. It's going to be voting time. We're going to vote on her and not on you. I don't like for her to fill in for me much, very, very much. But anyway, that afternoon, after lunch, Jen came up with the girls. We have four girls. The older set lacks a day being 18 months apart. The younger set lacks a week being 18 months apart. And there's 6 years in between. It's called family planning. You believe that? I got some other things I want to tell you. But anyway, that's the way it was. And the little girls, she told me this story. You said, you know, last night, she said, when we went home and got the girls ready for bed and had our devotions and our prayer time, one of the little girls, this was her prayer. She said, dear Jesus, help Daddy not to sneeze. That was her prayer. Now, the reason that was important to her is because she knew me. And for probably 25 years before that, I sneezed every single morning. Every morning. And I don't mean once or twice. I mean 6, 7, 8, a dozen times. You know, guys got to get unclogged or something in the morning. You know, whatever. And she realized how hurting I was that I didn't need to sneeze. And that was her prayer. And you know, when Jen told me that, I thought, hey, I didn't sneeze this morning. I really didn't. And that's the first time in years and years and years. She's here to testify to that. And you know, I had to stay again on Sunday night. I did not have a ruptured spleen. I did not have a punctured lung. But I had 3 broken ribs and some internal injuries. And they said, better stay another night. And I hated that, but I did. And you know, Monday morning, I didn't sneeze. I came home Monday afternoon. I didn't sneeze Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. None that whole week. In fact, I didn't sneeze the second week or the third or the fourth. It was either the fifth or the sixth week before I sneezed the first time. Now, you can hear that story and you can say whatever you want to. You can say, well, it's because your injuries, whatever, sort of shifted things or whatever. You know, yeah, I did that. I agree with that. But beyond that, I just want you to know that a little girl's prayer reached all the way through to Jesus. And he said, I got to send virtue down to that daddy in that hospital room and touch him. And I just want to tell you, he did. And to this day, I have never put 2 sneezes back to back. And that happened in October of 1984. I'm just telling you, the Lord will discern your touch if you desire to reach clear through. And the Bible says we need faith, like the faith of a little child, to just simply believe that when they pray, they say, oh God, it's going to happen. We ought to do the very same thing. Believe the Lord. Proceed by faith. Trust Him to answer your prayer. He'll discern your prayers. He'll discern your touch. I know sometimes it's really hard to pray. Sometimes we don't get very far. I've been there many times and I just wonder, Lord, what's wrong with me? Why is it going through? Why am I not hearing? I just don't feel good about it. But you know, I've learned, just keep on praying till the light breaks through. That's the difference. If I don't quit, if I don't give in, if I don't give up, I say, oh Lord, I need you. I want you. I have to have you. He'll come to my rescue every single time. I read a story a number of years ago called John Wesley's Cow Sermon. It goes like this. Mr. Wesley and a friend of his were walking down a country lane. Alongside that lane, there were 2 stone walls put up so high, probably as landmarkers, whatever, along this little lane. And this friend of Mr. Wesley was just emptying himself out of how rough life is. Yeah, got physical problems and family problems and down the line, just on and on and on and on and on. At the point where he was the lowest, an old cow stuck her head up over the wall and looked at him. And Mr. Wesley brought up the opportunity and he said, sir, do you know why that cow's looking over the wall? And without even looking up, he said, no, have no idea. As if to say, I don't care. Mr. Wesley said, she's looking over the wall because she can't see through the wall. You get the point? And sometimes in our troubles, in our burdens, in our problems, it's like there's 2 high walls and we can't see through. But I suggest look up, look over your wall, look unto the hills from whence cometh our strength and our help. Look to the Lord. He'll discern your touch if you desire to touch Him. And in this story, that lady, when the Lord turned around and saw her, she said, sir, I touched you. It's me. And here's what he said. Daughter, I love that word. You can put son in there. It simply meant that he recognized her as his child. Son, daughter, he said, thy faith. You pushed the crowd through. You went through the crowd, you know, made your way to me. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Hallelujah. She had a discovery that day. She had a brand new thing happen to her that she needed for 12 years. That's a long time in coming. But that particular day, a discovery hit her. A brand new thing. I'm instantly healed because I touched Jesus. He discerned my touch and he gave me the touch that I need. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Then he said, go in peace. That suggests to me something else. Not only a physical touch, but a spiritual touch as well. Because I don't think anybody comes to the Lord and hears the words, go in peace, without some kind of spiritual uplift or experience. Because he's the one that gives peace. He's the author. He's the Prince of Peace. You know, this lady may have had some other ailments in her life, but she never had that one again. He said, be whole of thy plague. Tonight, this crowd looks good to me. You look all right. But you see, I can't see down inside your heart. I don't know what burdens you have. I don't know what distresses, misgivings, misunderstandings, hurts, problems. I could only see what I see. And I can make judgments, but I could be so wrong. Because warm handshakes and big smiles and friendly faces so oftentimes disguise what's really, really down on the inside. And some of you may be hurting until your heart throbs at night, wondering about it all. And for you, I plead that you'll desire to touch Jesus to the point where you'll make your way to him and let him discern your touch and give you that touch that you need to get you over that or through that or beyond that until you realize you have touched the hem of his garment and something has happened. A songwriter a number of years ago wrote it right when he said, bring all your needs to the altar. Bring all your needs to the Lord. He is so willing, and that's good, but this is better, and able to help you. Bring all your needs to the Lord. Sweetheart, come and play that. I want us to stand. I want you to touch Jesus tonight. There may be a discouraged mother here, a discouraged father, a daughter, son, pastor, pastor's wife. I have no clue. I have no idea. But I just want to tell you that whatever's troubling you, whatever's hurting you, whatever's keeping you awake at night, you can bring that to Jesus. He'll discern your touch if you desire to touch him. Who'll be first to just step out and say, I have a need I want to talk to the Lord about before I go home tonight? Step out. Come on. Let's touch Jesus tonight. It could make such a difference in your life. If you're not saved, you ought to come. If you're saved and not sanctified, you ought to step out. If you're saved and sanctified and there's problems, issues in your life, you don't know how to handle, you ought to step out. Who'll be first? While we wait just a moment.